going. Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam,
John,
and Sean.
And on tonight's episode, big deal, big deal. Mandalorian came out, 2 days ago?
Yesterday.
3 a.m. yesterday morning.
I only say that because I watched it twice. And then we're going to do some His Dark Materials. We're going to do two episodes on that, the first two episodes. Yep. And then Watchmen.
The Watchman.
Or is it just Watchman? I think it's just Watchman.
It's Watchman.
Episode 3 and 4. News, which isn't really, you know, there's not a lot, but a couple plus things came out. So why don't we just get right into that? Why don't we slide into the DMs regarding the news?
Okay.
Anybody want to take that one away?
Yeah.
Apple Plus, you guys brought that one up. Why don't we start off with that?
All right.
Have you guys checked out any of the shows on Apple Plus?
Who has Apple Plus, by the way?
None of us, but apparently they have a lot of subscribers.
Well, I mean, they had this built-in, you know, thing where if you bought an iPhone or iPad or other shit, not an Apple Watch, which I just fucking bought, and I don't get Apple TV. Fucking assholes. Amount of shit I buy from them, and I can't even get, like, a $5 a month subscription. So I checked out The Morning Show. Which, slight tangent here, Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. That's fine. I don't know if it's worth it.
That's what I've heard about Apple shows, is that they're like,
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, listen, if your girlfriend liked it, and the two of you watched it together, and it was on NBC, like, 10 years ago, you'd be like, yeah, sure. Would you pay $6 just to watch it? I don't know.
So question regarding viewership and everything, is that if you got a iPad Apple product, you got it free for a year, or is it automatic subscription lifetime?
Yeah, free for a year. I don't know if they opt you in or whatever, but I was able to watch it because at least on my Apple TV, I got the first two episodes of at least that one. I didn't check any of the other one, for free, but I mean, they do that for a lot of shows where they give you the first episode or two, which makes sense. I mean, that's a good idea.
First one's free.
Right. And they, so I guess they were dropping three at once, and then they're going to do weekly after that. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think we're going to have much to talk about, although there is some interesting stuff in the pipeline there. It's definitely not going anywhere. They just hired the former head of HBO to run it. So
fair enough.
The only Apple show that has at all piqued my interest is that, what was it, For All Mankind, which looks like what if the Russians beat us to the moon,
yeah,
sort of thing.
I still don't really know what
that
it's about.
Kind of looks bad.
Well, see, Sam, I thought you'd be all in on this Foundation series.
They're doing a Foundation series?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't hear about that. Off.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's, there's something to look forward to. There's something else they just announced.
Well, they announced
C is the
Momoa that got trashed by the critics.
Okay. I mean, it
don't worry, it's fine. Everything got picked up for a second season.
It doesn't look
everything.
Great. It doesn't look great.
Anyway,
second season.
Yeah, everything got picked up for a second season.
They're just hardcore building content.
They're
at
trying.
This point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're, I mean,
I think they knew that going in, though, so you can't really fault them.
I'd be surprised. I'm just kind of surprised they're going to buy like one of the smaller studios, like Lionsgate or something like
just
that.
Just to get a library.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing was, Lionsgate was small like 15 years ago. It's pretty big now.
I mean, it's not compared to like all the others. I mean, all the others are huge.
Well, all the others are owned by Disney
or
Sony.
Does anyone own Lionsgate?
No, they're like
are
their own.
Oh, yeah. Good for them. Good for them.
Good for you.
No, I'm serious, because Bad Robot recently got purchased by
HBO.
I forget who it was, but they did get. I don't know if it bought, maybe like partnership.
They
essentially merged with somebody else.
Abrams is doing like an overall whatever with HBO. So that's what
but
it
like
was.
even Bad Robot is small compared to what Lionsgate is.
Agreed.
Because Lionsgate, they do have their like their major studio that does big movies, but they also have the smaller one for indie projects. And well, that's kind of what
most studios have that.
Well, I know. Well, yeah. Most big studio, Bad Robot doesn't. Or well,
Bad Robot's like a production.
Essentially, right, their own indie. Yeah.
It's all very confused. Like the Hollywood stuff. It's like the more you know, the more questions you have.
Yeah. But Lionsgate started off as the indie stuff, and then they built a reputation off of that, and then that's now they're
like, the only other studio I can think is comparable to Lionsgate is Legendary.
No, I don't know. I think they're
isn't that WB?
They're different, but Legendary is owned by somebody.
I think it is.
Are they owned by somebody?
It yeah, because they're all the monster ones are WB, right? And that was I don't know.
See, I like studios when they're on their own though, because you're getting into Disney, WB, and it's just there's only two. Well, there's more than that.
Well,
just
Universal, example. But you're getting to there's like four.
Yeah, you're getting to not a monopoly, but you're getting to like that.
Anyway, Chris, just. It sounded like you had a complaint with Apple.
Oh, hell yes. Do we want to
go ahead, go,
transition
please.
To
Chris's complaint corner?
To Apple Plus. Chris's complaint corner?
Yes, please.
F you, Apple. I have a iPad 2 product. Mm-hmm.
Very old.
Fourth gen. What the hell is it? Is it fourth gen? Or, you know, whatever. So Disney Plus came out and wanted to get it for my iPad. You know, I don't have TVs currently, and so I watch stuff on the iPad. It's a bigger screen, obviously, and the family watches it. The kid watches the Disney movies and all the other stuff. So I'm like, Disney Plus has to be on the iPad because I'll watch it around the house. Nope. The operating system is so old that the Disney Plus app will not download on that operating system. Screw you, Apple. I can't download the new operating system because the old generations can't handle it. It's not they can't handle it. The service is being stopped for the old generations.
Yeah, they haven't updated it.
Whatever. I don't care. My iPad is only connected to home Wi-Fi. It's not connected to any G of any kind.
Right.
So there's nothing. It's just at home. Why can't I have the damn Disney Plus app on it?
How old is your tablet?
I got it the year I got married. So.
All right.
Oh Jesus.
I mean that's like 8 years old.
At least.
Yeah.
That's pretty old.
That's pretty old.
It's pretty old, but still. I mean, but the thing but works. Here's it functions. Yeah. It's here's secure.
My tablet, I believe, is 5 or 6 years old. It's a Samsung. I can get Disney Plus on it.
See?
There you go.
Apple. It's definitely Apple. They screw you. I'm wondering when they're going to stop the service on my phone, which iPhone 6, don't judge me. When are they going to stop service on
the
iPhone 6?
I don't judge the iPhone 6 part. I judge the Apple part.
It's all Apple. It's all Apple. I'm glad I got the 6 instead of upgrading.
Also, the podcast app is just slowly being destroyed. Like, it just sucks.
Where? On?
On Apple?
On Apple stuff?
On iOS.
It's not improving. It's definitely not improving.
It's gotten so much worse over the years. And it's as a, not only a podcaster, but a podcastee. It's incredibly frustrating. And now, like, literally since the last big iOS update, it barely fucking works. So, and Stitcher's not that great. The other ones aren't that great either.
Podbean's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of stuff's on Podbean. But Podbean's
on Podbean.
And viewers, that's all that matters.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
I don't know why I called you viewers since you're listeners.
Apple products. I can't. At this point, I'm almost tapped out of Apple products. I recently got rid of the Apple computer.
Yep.
Got it with the Dell. You know,
dude, you got a Dell
Windows. I got a Dell. I know she's singing in the living room right now. But anyway, I can't stand not having it on my tablet because all those movies are on there.
I love watching movies and stuff on my tablet. Like, it's great, especially for car rides. Like, if I know I'm going far and I'm not driving, I download a couple like episodes off of like Netflix or something on there.
Yeah,
I can watch it on the ride. Like, it's great.
It's just I don't want to look at my phone all the time. And granted, it's the same concept essentially, but the tablet you can put up on a counter and do dishes or something. Prop while it's it over up. On the other side.
It's its own thing, man. Yeah,
damn you, Apple.
Yeah,
I hate Apple.
Well, slight segue.
I don't own stock. Disclosure, so I can.
Anyway, so Disney Plus, as we will, I'm sure, talk about, launched yesterday.
Sure, shit, Apple took my money to pay for Disney Plus, but they won't give it to me on my iPad.
Yeah, because you get it on your phone?
Yeah.
So let me ask you. You just watched The Mandalorian. How did you watch it?
On my phone.
Oh, God.
I watched everything. I watched a few things, actually, from the Plus app.
Do you not have a smart TV?
I do, but we're renovating downstairs. I don't want to. It's been covered for months. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they announced today, so obviously started Tuesday. No. Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah,
yesterday.
Today's Wednesday. You're probably listening to this Thursday or possibly next week.
Or you're like hiding in the bushes outside listening to us.
Or 4 months from now. Who knows? Anyway, 10 million subscribers. And this is the U.S., Canada, and the Netherlands. That's pretty good for friggin' one day.
U.S., Canada, and Netherlands?
How much do you think is that the Netherlands?
Well, no. Funny you should say that because it's actually been there for a while. That was their little test market. And then I think I saw in stat where it was like something like 4% of people in the Netherlands had, which is like for like Disney Plus is, you know.
Can't imagine there's more than 10 million people in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I think it did pretty well, and you know, I mean, I think Apple stock was up like 7% today, which
they jumped. Disney.
Yeah, Disney, not
Apple. So you heard it here first, the Dutch dig Disney.
Well, apparently the Americans. So 10 million subscribed on Tuesday?
Yeah,
10 million subscribed Tuesday, or so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thus far.
Now, I'm wondering, because, again, Verizon did a promotion where you get it free for a year if you have a Verizon account.
Right.
To put it in retrospect with Apple, because both of them basically dropped around the same time, because I literally read it as you guys were talking Apple. So Disney has 10 million subscribers so far in three countries.
Yep.
Four countries. Is it
three?
In three countries.
I think UK is next.
Apple.
Week?
I think they're rolling. Yeah.
Apple right now is hoping for 9 million by the end of the month.
And I don't know if that's free people too, or I'm sure it's probably included in that.
I'm sure they're definitely including free people in that number.
So to give you an idea, like between the two, like, Disney is just destroying Apple.
Well, you knew what you were signing up for.
Yeah, which is awesome. Which was the good thing about Disney, and I'm surprised they didn't do this sooner. They have a backlog of so much. Even before they picked up Fox, even before they picked up Marvel, before they picked up Star Wars, they had so much.
I think in the past
they could, but it'd be niche. It wouldn't be didn't they do that before? I don't know because
think they have all the Disney original shows, TV shows,
right.
Disney original movies, plus their animation department, Pixar, and they have just like the random movies like Pirates of the Caribbean that they do.
No, I think it's...
I mean, they could do it on their own, but like... Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the other stuff
helps. Oh, yeah, it helps a lot.
I'd say 15 years ago, they probably thought about it. But now I think just technology and demand and the...
Well, 15 years ago, there was really no
but
the
library is building up, and then you have changing of the guard with probably the entertainment directors and the movie aspect of Disney. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that you're starting to see now cord cutters.
Yeah.
Now you're actually starting to see cord cutters. The numbers are actually meaning something. So I think that's when they're starting to think, all right, well, let's maybe do this. Let's take more of people's money.
Well, take more money from people. Also, you know, you're not having people subscribing to the Disney Channel, whether they watch it or not, so they need to offset that somehow. And I mean, I just think it made the most sense of anybody for Disney just to do it. You
absolutely.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
Because all the kids are... I bought it. The kid's going to watch it for years.
Yeah. Everyone's got kids.
I mean, I can't imagine if you're a parent.
I do.
It's $70 to just, you know.
It's 70, I did the year-long thing.
Twice,
so
you know?
I did
it makes so much more sense to buy the full year rather than do the monthly.
Oh, yeah.
Like $7 a month or $70 for a year. It's you get 2 months for free.
Even if you don't let your kid watch TV or anything, those like flights. So I can think of four... vacations this time, like driving and flying, that
you
it will just save my ass.
You watch one movie, like new movie, a month,
right?
It already saves so much money within
$20 a whack.
Just think of the ones the kids
it's Disney.
Like.
Disney never lowers their prices on DVDs and Blu-rays.
It's $19.99 for Moana still.
Yeah, because they never lower it because they know it's always in demand. And once it slows down, they throw it in the vault, as they always put it. And it disappears for a little bit.
Yeah, so the one thing
I did
with
watch
this,
a vault movie.
There's
Which
no,
one?
We'll get to that.
Okay. There's no vault, though, now, right? Like
They do. They have From the Vault is one of the categories.
So no, but you can still put everything's out.
Is there stuff that's out in the vault that's
I don't know.
I mean, there's another vault that we don't really need to talk about. That's like the hide it and never let it out vault. But
whoa, zippity doo dah,
yeah. But the like, you know, Fox and the Hound vault comes out, you know,
yeah,
bring it out every 6 years.
Cinderella, like, vault.
That's not a thing, right? Because, I mean, that's kind of bullshit if, like, I'm paying for all the movies.
Well, if I'm paying for all the movies, I want all three versions of Star Wars A New Hope.
All, like, fucking seven. Because, Chris, this release is not without controversy.
Nope, it is not.
Who's Sean? You,
did anybody see that?
Yeah.
Nice little layup right there.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Sean, we had some changes. Yet another George Lucas back in the edit bay.
Yeah, back in the edit bay all the way back in Shooters. 2012.
Yeah, this has been ready to go for a while. Shooters, yes. Shoot, as they say. Were there any... Okay, so there's one big change. I don't think there was anything else, was there? I'm sure there's something.
So the scene we're talking about is the Han shooting second scene. And there's a lot that actually changed in that scene. I watched a scene breakdown of what happened. So the big difference is... he says... Greedo says something before they shoot now, which is... Right. It's been going around on the internet. I forget what the phrase is.
No, after, like, they shoot.
No, it's before, no, right, they before, shoot.
Or as.
No, at, yeah. No, as he's falling down. He says something.
No. It's like right before.
Really? Be-
because anyway. The quote is actually a callback to The Phantom Menace, which is a line Sebulba says.
What?
It is. Literally.
He's such a fucking nerd.
So the line basically says something like, "This will be the end of you," or something like that. Like, it's actually kind of a menacing line in Huddies. Believe it or not, like, yes.
Jesus Christ.
So he threw that in there.
There is,
but,
very few rabbit holes he will not.
God,
go
he
down.
Just he Dude. Loves those movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he loves this. But he also, what he did was he edited them firing their guns. Now they fire their guns at the exact same time. Rather than Greedo shooting first and then Han.
Right.
And, like, there's still, like, the really awkward Han moving his head out of the way in the scene. But, like,
oh, yeah, the noticeable
yeah,
edit.
Yeah, the noticeable, like, like, random twitch that he does with his head.
Jump cut or whatever you want to call it.
So that's still in there. But now they fire at pretty much the exact same time, which, once again, means that at point-blank range... Greedo missed.
So we wanted to add Jar Jar into the game,
I actually watched all the Star Wars movies. I watched Phantom Menace first.
Wait, like on the app?
Yep.
Did you not work yesterday?
I did work yesterday.
Okay. How did you have time?
He did all his work during the pod racing scene. There's a lot of time there. You don't have to watch.
There's also nighttime. There's also nighttime.
You
slow
never
time
slept
in the morning. You can also have it on as background noise, which is great.
No, I could never do that.
I definitely do that.
I cannot do that. I can't put anything on, like, movies as background noise. I have to watch it.
And today. I watched a little bit today.
It's just like somebody calls you. It's like, oh, sorry, I got the pod race in the background. Don't worry about it.
The Vault, the Disney Vault movie, Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
the 1961.
So did you see the thing with this one? How the description has, please note there's, like, culture, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a disclaimer of, like, you may be emotionally distraught by some of these things.
Yeah, it's like fresh out of Watchmen.
Oh, it's definitely. Oh yeah, it's whatever. It takes 2 seconds. The disclaimer takes 2 seconds. It's not crazy.
Yeah, no, but you're looking it's at, in the no, in like the description, it's like culturally like insensitive or something like.
Oh yeah,
that.
It's definitely dated. It's definitely like you're watching this and you're like, I don't know if that should really be said, but okay, like it's 1960.
I don't think I've ever seen Swiss Family Robinson. Are we talking like Crows from Dumbo here?
I honestly don't remember Crows from Dumbo because,
like,
I've watched Dumbo. I've watched
the
Dumbo
Jim Crows.
I've watched Dumbo once in my life.
I've never seen a elephant fly.
Sam
and
Brock,
I
we want to stay on.
Dislike Dumbo, but anyway. The I wouldn't say it's animal cruelty, but it's There's an elephant in the ocean. I mean, come on.
Elephants swim.
Elephants like to swim.
They're excellent swimmers.
Okay, that's fine. It just looks a little weird.
An elephant has been caught with miles off the
coast. They're ostrich riding and the thing, and it's just, you visibly notice some of the animals. Like, oh, you're clearly.
I mean, it's no cannibal holocaust, but they like literally kill animals on screen.
There's just.
Or like, just any Western from the 50s where they're tripping horses with the razor wire.
It's a movie. Yeah. It was made in 1960. You just have to. Yeah. This is what it was. Yeah. This is what it was.
It was a different time. It's not like.
It's a different time.
It's not everyone like people trying to use that argument for like 9 years ago.
In the end, it's still not like a great movie, but just the treehouse is fucking cool, man. the treehouse is great.
Dude, and then like they make those bombs they throw at people, right?
Like, yeah, the kids like hucking coconut bombs at pirates. It's like, I don't know about this.
It's like Home Alone on steroids.
it really is.
Well, one other thing that came up. And this is not a new controversy, so to speak. I guess I just expected Disney to do the right thing, and it fucking didn't. Part of this package, all 57 seasons of The Simpsons have been added to the service. You can watch it any time. However, I don't know if this is only... No, this must just be only earlier episodes.
Yeah, the ones that are in 4.3.
Yeah, the standard definition shows. So... What they did, and this is what they did when they went to Fox, they were always on Fox, but started syndication on like FX, is they essentially took what were previously 4.3, you know, for our old square TVs, and made them widescreen, and they did that by essentially like not stretching, but zooming in essentially on the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
So two things happened. One, it just looks weird. Like, it looks kind of weirdly claustrophobic and, like, poorly composed. And, like, it's just one of those things that, like, throws you off. Like, you just notice it, like, looks weird. It's, like, very subtle in the background, but it's, like, I can't think of something to compare it to. But, you know, like, you would just notice after a while, be like, this isn't, something's not right here. But, more importantly, even, it, like, takes away jokes. Like, there's jokes where, you know, like, one of them I saw was when they're touring the Duff factory, and they're like, oh, look at Duff Light, Duff Dry, and Duff Classic, and it's all the same spout going to the same thing. You can't see that.
Yeah.
You just see, you don't see that it's a one and the same. You just see, like, beer going into these, like, vats. And, you know, to me, that's shitty. Like, that's, like, legitimately, like, fucking up the art. Or even, I mean, I don't even want to say art, but just, like, the original intention, you're just fucking robbing it for no reason. And, like, dude, I watched a bunch of Frasier, and that's all in 4.3 until you get to, like, the last season. It's, like, it's fine. It's, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's bars on either side. Ooh.
They did which is funny touch because up some movies, almost all of them.
Yeah, it's funny, though, on The Simpsons, because whenever they go to, like, Kent Brockman or whatever... They go back to like 4.3, and then there's bars on the side, and it's like, dude, you.
Yeah, like why?
It's like you knew this was going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just unfortunate because I think they actually went through and cleaned up the sound and everything too. I watched, Treehouse 3, the one with The Shining.
Yeah.
And it sounded good.
Almost like a segue.
Yeah, it seemed like it was better. Yeah.
Almost.
Do you want to? Well,
no. Stay with Disney Plus because people want to hear Mandalorian. Yeah, it just came out yesterday. We are literally at the leading front of reviewing this. Shall we get into it?
I'll tell you what, man. The Mando rocked my socks off. This show...
Disclosure first. We will be spoiling this, but we'll try and save that.
It's
later.
Only one episode, which is fine. There's
really only one big spoiler.
There's another episode coming Friday.
Oh, so it's Friday?
Yeah.
So is it going to be every Friday?
No.
Yeah, I thought so, but maybe not.
Or is it because I knew it was one couple days and then weekly? Oh, yeah, it might be then every Friday. Yeah,
that's fine.
So, we kind of gave Apple Plus a little shit earlier. I kind of like that, like, release three and then do it weekly.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a little taste, gets you rolling.
I don't think this show needed that.
No.
No, it didn't, Sean. I was just stunned, like, how pitch perfect this was, and it was, like, exactly what I wanted
just
it to be.
The opening 100%. sequence was, like, what sold this for me. Like, it was phenomenal.
It really did feel like a Star Wars movie.
It was it's a Star Wars movie, but it's a Western set in the Star Wars universe, which is awesome.
I'm agreeing with you. Brief plot rundown. Okay. Mandalorian is about a bounty hunter. It takes place 5 years after the fall of the Galactic Empire. Mm-hmm. And it's about him as a bounty hunter collecting. In this case, he has a bounty on somebody and he's going to collect.
He doesn't have a disc, so he doesn't know what... Yeah, a puck.
They call it a puck.
Sorry.
It's just a bounty tag.
Yeah.
I don't know what dog the bounty hunter ran around with. I think it was just...
Papers.
Producers. HGH or TV cameras. So, but anyway... That's all you really needed, because a lot of these fans were sold on this, as everybody was in this room, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, though. But, like, I need an episode now where the Mandalorian is, like, talking to guys, like, you know, he puts the guys in cuffs, and then behind the car, he's like, hey, man, you just gotta trust in Christ. You just gotta trust in God. He's got a plan for you.
Gotta trust in Life Day.
You just...
Not a spoiler, but yeah, Life Day is referenced in this episode, which is phenomenal.
You just gotta trust in the Force, man. You gotta trust the Force. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So this first episode gives you a bunch of stuff. It gives you
Horatio Sands, Nick Nolte, a very
good guest cast. Or co-stars, yes. Yeah, I guess.
For like a fucking pilot. Like,
yeah. Right? We got Carl Weathers.
Yep.
We have I can't pronounce his name, so I wrote it down. Werner Herzog.
Go on.
Werner Herzog.
And Pedro Pascal is obviously the bounty hunter. And then they have Nick Nolte. I had to look that one up, too.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
He's directing an episode, so like he was around.
Was it
Brian Poisson? Or however you say
it. Brian Poshen.
Poshen, that's it.
Who's not, but still like...
He's like...
To show up for 3 seconds is
right.
Funny.
Yeah.
And the armorer's name is she's recurring apparently.
Yeah,
which we'll get into later because that scene was fucking sick.
I mean, just speaking of which, I mean, production value incredible. Like yes. No
spared
drop off.
No expense whatsoever for this.
It looks nice because it's a great mix of CGI and practical, which is kind of what you want out of a new Star Wars movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like when they have the dewbacks or whatever, giant lizards they ride,
yeah,
as they do in Star Wars.
Yeah.
You could tell it was some practical effects when they got in close, and it was good. Like I liked that, and I mean, I think Favreau's like the guy to do it. Like they needed like somebody who's a little bit more of a nerd. Maybe
he didn't direct. Abrams.
No, but he's a showrunner.
Yeah. I think he's more involved with the script
than anything else.
If he's putting more time towards something, I think it's more involved.
I stated this many episodes ago, but he went up to Disney with like 7 episodes ready to go. Like he had the scripts written for 7 episodes. But I think Favreau has his hands very deep in this show.
Yeah,
go for it.
Because,
it's his thing.
Look, like, if it wasn't for this, for Favreau, we wouldn't have the MCU.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, you look at the Iron Man suit.
Disney animated, the real action stuff, the Lion King and all that other crap that they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have that without Favreau.
Yeah. So. But the thing with this is it, like mixing special like CGI with practical. That's exactly what he did with Iron Man. He did exactly that because half that Iron Man suit is CGI, half of it is practical.
Yep.
So like he knows what he's doing with this kind of stuff, and so it's really in the right hands.
I bet you he reads like fan forums too, because a lot of people complain about too much CGI. Prequels, obviously, but too much CGI.
He
too
just
much
listens
CGI.
To our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, John.
No, but I mean the show just overall had.
I loved your Daredevil movie.
Sorry. That was him?
He was in Daredevil.
Well, he was in it.
He was
Foggy Nelson.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He didn't.
I don't think he did. No, he did not.
No, okay. He didn't direct that.
He doesn't. I don't think he usually appears in the stuff he actually directs.
Other than Iron Man.
Chef. Oh yeah, he's in Iron Man.
Iron Man.
All right, maybe I'm an asshole.
Did he do Elf?
Yeah, he did direct Elf.
Yeah.
Was he in Elf?
Is he in Elf?
I don't think he was in Elf.
No, it seems like he'd be in Elf.
Right? He'd be like a security guard or something.
He'd be like an angry Elf.
Well,
anyway.
To inject a little controversy in this.
No!
Just a little bit. I'm not like 100% sold on the show.
Shut up, Are you kidding, Sam?
I'll give you...
What reason?
I'll tell you guys the reason. I like this show because it feels like a Lucas Star Wars film. I don't like the show because it feels like a Lucas Star Wars film. I get all the like interesting world that they're creating there and just like unique things that are in this. And at the same time, I also get like stupid shit like that 5 minutes we spend about him trying to train the lizard horse thing.
But Sam, do you not do you not also see that kind of a scene in a Western film of him basically training a Bronco?
See, it happened like Unforgiven. See
every Clint Eastwood and John Wayne movie ever.
Like, just you think the typical Western, it's like, oh, you got to get there on horseback. He's like, no, I can, I'll walk. He's like, no, you're gonna have to take the horse. And it's like, hey, you're part Apache, because they always are.
Just like, just watch, you're part Swiss Apache,
and they used to ride these horses up and down. You could train one of those if you really tried. And he's like, you know what? You're right. Oh, look at this. I just trained a horse.
All right. Well, first of all, I don't remember that happening. And second of all, if that did happen, it'd still be kind of stupid.
Were there any other stupid parts of the show for you?
No. I mean, it was mostly like little things. But even then, it was like, I kind of glad they were there.
I love how, like, you're taking the anti on this.
Like, I thought the whole,
like, when he's like, no, I can't use Imperial credits. Let's have a 5-minute conversation about monetary policy.
No, but I love that.
Like, part of me likes that because it builds out the world, but at the same time, it also is kind of stupid.
Yeah, but like,
but this is the Bounty Hunter Guild. No, like, this is the point of the show.
Yeah. It's like Empire credits don't count because the Empire is gone, so they're useless.
Look at these assholes building a world in the pilot episode.
I know.
No. Should we talk to Watchmen now?
Oh, here, I'll pay John for a good day's work with Zimbabwe dollars.
I want
U.S. dollars.
The calamari.
Were those making sounds, by the way?
Yeah, yes. They were.
Okay, good. Like, okay.
Wait, what?
When he picked up the calamari coins. You had to set that up too, because there's a massive portion when he went to go get the other it wouldn't be bounty at that point, but the other job.
Yeah,
he was paid in Beskar,
do we know what that is?
That's Mandalorian metal.
Mandalorian metal, yeah.
And it's okay. I think it's only made on the home world of Mandalore, but it's used in the armor. It's like a currency almost.
Yeah. That's why she makes the pauldron out of it.
Speaking of the armor. One thing I did like, for the first time in the history of Star Wars, armor actually meant something.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
So apparently,
I always thought those were just cosmetic.
So apparently it's the strongest metal in the universe, and it can sometimes repel lightsabers blasters and things
like
that.
And it is believed that Vader's suit is made out of it.
Yes.
It has minus D6 damage and prevents stun 50% of the time.
I think I would love it if this show throughout the whole season is him just building a suit, because I think that's what it's going to be in the end.
I feel like it is. Yeah.
It's just him collecting
a brandy new suit.
Yeah, that would be sick. The suit looks. I mean, the helmet looks fucking great.
Yeah. I wish it had the viewfinder, but
Well, maybe that comes along later.
Oh man!
Another thing that was. I'm not actually upset about this, but it is like a little dumb. The fact that he has spurs that go jingle jangle. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Every time he walked, you heard ch-ch-ch-ch.
Yeah, he did.
I was like, oh, really? You gave him the spurs thing? Yeah, I kind of like that.
other things, I guess, that were great about it?
Like I said, I mean, just it had a nice kind of throwback look to it, like very much like, well, I mean, the planets they were on were like Tatooine in different forms, pretty much.
they don't reveal the titles.
Cold Tatooine.
That's my one gripe. They don't actually put where you are. Right. It would be great if they did, but I kind of understand why they don't.
I'm okay with it right now, especially the way this one ended. Like, the purpose, the way this one ended. So he's off trying to find a bounty. A bounty that is incredibly dangerous. Many people have gone after it. They've all died. So it's a very dangerous thing. The thing that he's going after is basically hidden on a planet, and the only thing he's got is the last known whereabouts and the age, which is 50 years old. How does nobody that knows anything about Star Wars go, it's Boba Fett! He's going after Boba Fett!
I didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that either.
I like, I mean, because we've talked about, like, there's got to be, like, you even said, like, he's got to crawl out of the pit in this, like, show.
Oh, I wasn't expecting the first episode.
I was almost expecting it. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, it can't be, but, like, this kind of feels like Tatooine. And then, like, all the people guarding him looked like the skiff guards from Jabba's palace. The same species.
I kind of want to do spoilers now.
Well, yeah, there's not much to spoiler. I think we all are very in on this show.
But, yeah, we're all very in.
I'm a little, I'm maybe like 5% cautiously optimistic, but
at 40 minutes an episode, though, perfect.
So.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I felt it could have been maybe longer, but at the same time, like, the pacing kind of seemed weird in the second half.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a pass. Okay. It was a really good episode.
I was very happy with the 40-minute mark.
So, spoilers, everybody.
Yeah.
But did everybody else figure it out the minute they showed that pod and they're like, wait, it's 50 years old?
No.
Honestly, didn't figure it out.
The minute they said it was 50 years old, I'm like, oh, motherfucker, brought a Yoda back.
It wasn't until like you saw it. Well, because you're trying to figure it out. What's going on? Yeah, what's like, going on?
What, and then he's like, 50 years old. Baby. Oh,
they say they can live to centuries. And at that moment, the blanket kind of went down.
Yeah.
And then you saw, the species is unknown. So
it's Yoda species.
It's Yoda species. But you're just looking at him like, oh my God, never expected in a million years they would have a baby Yoda. Which is 50-year-old Yoda.
Once again, what a great idea.
Great idea. I never would have thought. I honestly thought everything but a baby Yoda.
Which, yeah. Once again, one of those like Lucas ideas where it's like, yeah, it spans out the universe. Also, like on the other hand, a little dumb.
What, that it's a baby Yoda?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't, Sam. You're not allowed to talk anymore. I'm giving you leeway. You're not allowed to talk anymore. This is I didn't expect this at all. I don't know if you did.
No, I had no idea.
See? Right?
Not totally.
Jon Favreau, man.
Yeah.
Coming in strong.
But this brings back, like I said, with the last trailer that dropped, that I mentioned the difference between this and the new trilogy. Is this one feels like it's part of Star Wars. There's tons of callbacks. There's the Tesk, like, squid face guy in the beginning that you've seen. You saw him in Return of the Jedi. You have, you know, the Yoda baby, the skiff guards all over the place in that. You have the IG-11, which is, you know, the guard.
Another thing, did anybody see the Stormtrooper outfit? But then they also saw the Clone Wars Stormtrooper head.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? It was when he was going through with the rest of the Mandalorians.
Yeah.
There was an old...
Oh, okay.
Almost 100%, because I watched the show to look at it. Yeah. It's an old Clone Wars helmet.
Okay. Which Clone Wars?
Fuck, dude. The
like cartoon? Gen 1 or Gen 3, I believe it is.
Honestly, I don't know.
You watched the show!
I did watch the show. It was in the TV show.
Right. Does it have the fin?
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell it was dark.
Fin,
I couldn't tell it was
Finn
dark.
The fin is Gen 1.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you what. The moment I knew this show was legit is when he goes to, like, get a cab or whatever, and the guy plays a fucking flute. I was like, oh, this is fucking
great. Which that character, I mean, it's not the same thing, but is kind of a callback to New Hope, because the Imperial spy is that kind
is the
of
guy.
Is
the guy playing the flute.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same character, but same alien.
Same species.
So it's just nice, like, to see some cohesive, like, kind of, like, connective tissue there.
Yeah, I guess with the I'm going to call them the Abrams, because it's really Abrams. Yeah, you don't get that. It's all like, ooh, look at this guy. He's like a little, I don't know.
Yeah, they,
it's
like,
it's
create
all like,
new
ooh,
stuff.
This is new. Like, yeah. I mean, come on. I like what I like, you know?
I was thoroughly impressed, and I'm in love with the amount of new and the amount of old that we're getting.
Right.
I didn't expect a fucking monster to jump out the ice and eat the speeder or whatever. I mean, come on.
And then we get a Life Day reference, and I'm just like, oh, man.
And you finally get to see a toilet on a spaceship.
Yeah, right?
Which, I'm so glad we had 3 minutes about him talking about how he shits.
I love how it's also, I don't want to say it's like a bad thing that they brought this up, but it's just funny how they said only 5,000. That's not even the cost of fuel. Yeah. Like, what? So, no wonder why they ran out of fuel in The Last Jedi.
Well, it is the retro 1970s, so maybe there's a like future oil embargo.
Maybe the space Iranians. Like, anyway. Yeah. Space OPEC.
I'm hugely in. I love the idea of the Mandalorians who are like an underground now.
Well, they're part they're of a tribe.
A tribe is what they call themselves
they're,
as.
They're always a tribe type culture.
Yeah, but I want to delve into that a little bit more.
Which I feel and you know what was awesome is, was it, who's the actor? Was it
Pedro Pascal?
Pedro Pascal. Barely talks. Which is awesome.
I think he does a great job of motion acting.
Yes.
So far.
I love it. The fact that he barely, and like they even bring that up.
He's got the voice for it, weirdly. Yeah. Like very like soft spoken and
like very serious, monotone almost. Like,
but he almost has that
cool as a cucumber.
Kind of not sarcasm, but like a little bit of humor. When he's training on the 5-minute montage of him training on a horse.
Yeah.
Sam's favorite scene.
I still can't. Okay, my one actual complaint. The like, oh shit, what's his name? Who's the guy who he was with when he was doing
Nick
that?
Nolte?
Nick Nolte. It didn't sync up right.
Yeah, his mouth
was a little weird.
It didn't look that great.
Well, because it wasn't a CGI. It was an animatronic. if you look at it.
Yeah, it was an actual like puppet sort of thing.
Right.
It didn't look great, but I'll trade it for it being Nick Nolte.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's 100% Nick Nolte. So.
I've spoken.
it's definitely Nick Nolte.
I
have
spoken. I will definitely take, I believe he's an Ugnaught, but I will take the Ugnaught face over Nick Nolte's face any day.
It is better looking.
Nick Nolte has seen better days.
Sure.
So are we...
seen better 48 hours.
are we still in on it? Do we want to move
along? Okay, can I ask you just... and this is probably a little bit of an overreaction, but what would you say of Star Wars things? I'm not going to count video games because there's a lot of video games.
And one comes out next week.
Whatever. of Star Wars things, which I'll just say movies/TV shows.
Uh-huh.
How does this rank post Return of the Jedi?
Towards the top so far.
What would you give it?
Like as a score?
No, just like like ranked
comparatively, like
to the movies and stuff.
Yeah,
it's so far. I mean,
I have to see more.
I need more, but like as of right now, this is what I thought I was gonna get compared to what I got. I feel like it's on point. It's like exactly what I wanted. And, you know, I mean, I'm a huge Mandalorian fan. Like, that's, like, my thing. You know, Boba Fett, Jango Fett, like, the history of those. Like, I love that. I got a GameCube just to play Bounty Hunter. Like, that's how much I love the Bounty Hunter, like, the Mandalorians and stuff and the Bounty Hunters. So this is so far is my favorite thing to come out post Return of the Jedi.
I mean, I can't judge this yet, and this isn't a criticism.
No.
I'll admit this episode's all sizzle, no steak.
That's very true. And I didn't really care at all about anybody.
Yeah, it's like, and as the show goes on, hopefully we'll get far more steak. Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I care about the bounty hunter.
Give me movie time. It's 40 minutes. Give me 2 hours, 30 minutes.
Two more episodes.
I'll say it. I think this is the best thing they've done since, well, other than Rogue One, the best thing they've done since Jedi. And it might be better than Rogue One with time. As in, like, the more I've seen.
But, going back to video games, are we talking, like, Battlefront 1 and 2, the original? Are you including those? Or Shadows of the Empire?
I think if I include those, they're all as one. So. Okay. But the video games are complicated.
Yeah. Because Shadows is a phenomenal game.
That's a good, like, we've got nothing to talk about this week. We're going to do top 5 Star Wars video games. All
right. I got mine already set up in my brain.
We didn't even delve into this. The IG-11 battle scene?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, phenomenal. That was really good.
You finally get to see an IG droid in action.
In full action, right?
And it took forever.
You saw a little bit in the Clone Wars cartoon, but
right, but this is like... Which...
I want to know CGI between practical and CGI with that scene.
Yeah,
because I feel like they literally did just walk around with, like, the old Terminator, walk around with the upper half and just spin.
Yeah, but, like, the arms are CGI. Like how, like he's.
Well,
like,
yeah,
I think most of the robot is CGI.
Yeah,
I think it's a guy in a suit.
I could see that too.
A guy in a green screen thing.
Here's my one nerd complaint that I'm going to get a lot of groans out of. If it's 5 years after Return of the Jedi, why is it an IG-11 and not like an IG-98?
Because maybe that's not how it works.
Maybe he was before. Why would you count down? Maybe he was before IG-88. Star Wars.
Well,
George Lucas. Maybe. He started at 4.
Maybe the.
Why would it? Doesn't matter. Timing doesn't count when you start movies at episode 4.
No, I know, but this is comes IG, after.
Maybe he's working his way down.
This comes out at least 10 years, close to 10 years after IG-88 made his debut in the Star Wars.
Debut what if they had only like 3 second appearance?
Yes. What if they had 88, 89, 90, and then they went back and did 10, 11, 12? We're just getting 11.
That would make no sense unless you're Xbox.
Or George Lucas.
What if they come from a culture that counts down instead of up?
Huh? What happens when they get to zero?
Why are you being insensitive about something?
What happens when they get to zero?
It doesn't matter because we're not going to see them again.
I hope we see other IGs. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I
that
do
would
like,
be cool.
I do. I
That'd be great if it's I all tied to white titty or whatever.
If like some of the other bounty hunters like just got a cameo,
I don't think you're gonna get any.
No, I know, but like Forlom or Zuckus would be awesome. Dengar maybe.
That's a deep cut. Dengar.
Dengar is a but like at least with like Forlom and IG-88 and Forlom and Zuckus, it's like hey, it's a Ganon.
All right, all right. As much as I love, we really gotta get moving here. His dark material.
Okay, going to his dark materials on HBO.
I don't
HBO.
Think we're gonna spend a super long time.
No,
on
it's not hard.
Yeah. Because okay, so his dark materials, which is a young adult adaptation of, is that what the series is called?
His dark materials. Yeah. Yes. The first one is The Golden Compass.
Right.
For anybody who saw it.
Right. Which was adapted originally 10 years ago as a movie.
Which
with Daniel Craig and others.
Nicole Kidman was
Sam
in it.
Sam Elliott, yeah.
Yeah, there was a good cast.
Amy McKellen's like has a voice. Yeah,
yeah, he did the polar bear.
Yeah. Anyways, now it's been adapted to a show. Actually, fun trivia, because I went to the Golden Compass thing. George R. R. Martin saw that and was like, oh, I'm not doing a movie.
Yeah.
Which is now fun because now they're doing it like this, the quote-unquote right way, too.
Right.
Anyway, so this stars...
Daphne Keene,
who you'll know as Lara from Logan, the girl from Logan, mm-hmm. and Ruth Wilson, and James McAvoy, and I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to show up at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's essentially just... I don't know what
compass.
The easiest way to describe it. It's like just an alternate version of today with airships.
It's an alternate version of what it is where... Instead of us having a soul, we have a companion animal that is our soul. And when we become an adult, that animal becomes, like, they can shapeshift in childhood. But when you become an adult, it chooses a final form.
Right, so which is reflective of who you are.
Exactly. So, like,
and
there's
also,
a guy with a snake, and he's super,
also,
like,
sneaky. Also, I didn't realize this the first, maybe I did, and I just forgot, but watching the movie, all the animals... Or your demons, as they call them, are the opposite sex.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can fuck your demon. well, you know, I mean,
you could
before too. I mean, I'm not gonna say that's you know,
John, you don't fuck yourself.
Oh my goodness. We leave it to Sam to take us down a dark road.
Well, it is his dark material. This is what they're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, so let me just say this. Man, this kind of picked a bad time to come out. Because, like,
really
I get
did.
The Watchmen world building. I get fucking Mandalorian. I'm building fucking worlds on worlds here.
Yeah.
And, like...
Not to mention, in his dark materials, you need to know a couple worlds.
Oh.
Yeah, in the second episode, they come into our world.
I mean, you don't have to really build
what?
That.
Yeah, so you only watched 1.5 episodes.
So
towards the end of the second half, the dude with the snake, he steps through a portal and winds up in, like, now London.
Like, our world. Well, no, it's Oxford.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Oxford.
Okay. Well, so there's been 2 episodes. Essentially, there's this like organization called, what was it, the Magisterium?
Yes. Magisterium. Yeah.
Which is supposed to be the Catholic Church.
Right.
Pretty much.
and they sort of control everything and sort of squash, you know, independent thought, among other things.
Kind of like the Catholic Church.
No, yeah,
please, we're not getting into this.
It's an incredibly heavy-handed allegory.
Yes.
Especially when they're, well. So, all right. I don't know if we're going to go blow by blow.
No,
we just frankly don't have time.
No.
We don't need to.
Not that we don't. My problem with this show so far is it is a slower-paced version of the movie, which is fine, but I remember the movie because, like, for some reason it stuck with me. So, like, everything
that was a bad movie.
It wasn't a bad movie. It's just nobody saw it for some reason. Well,
because it was a bad
movie. It was not a bad movie.
Okay, we're good.
I saw it, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great movie.
No,
but
it was
not. The world has always intrigued me.
Yes, I agree.
Even, like, this idea of, like, you have this companion animal with you.
Yeah.
That's sort of a reflection of who you are.
And the armored bears.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the bears.
You don't even see it in the episode.
You see a skull. You see a skull.
You see a skull of bears. Okay, this is this show for me. I don't want to say it's fine. It's a little bit better than fine, but, like, that just gets lost unless I'm, like, all in these days.
It does.
And, like, that's kind of where we're at. And it's, like, well-produced, and there's, like, good, I think, performances by people.
British people love this show.
Good.
It's a joint production with the BBC,
yes.
And I'm pretty sure it's already got picked up for a second season.
Which is good.
I don't know what the pacing is going to be. How many books are there in this thing?
Four?
It's a trilogy.
Oh,
three.
It is?
Yeah. It's three, yeah. So who knows if...
I don't know what
it's expected to be. I'm not really super wrapped up.
Is Stephen Moffat involved in this?
I have no idea.
Because the only reason why I say...
No, it's Tom Hooper's the guy.
Because the only reason why I say is that... like, at the end of the credits, I saw one of the production companies was named Bad Wolf. And Doctor Who fans might understand that.
Yeah.
Well, BBC is involved.
Yeah.
So, that's their bread and butter.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. The show's... It's fine.
If you guys don't watch this, I'm 100% going to tap out.
Yeah.
No,
I dislike
it. It doesn't
this.
Really do anything for me.
For me, it's unfortunately because of the movie, I'm like, I know what's happening.
Right?
So, like, I'm half watching it, half on my phone, like, doing other things. Like, I can keep up. I like it because after watching the movie, I was like, I need a sequel. I need this trilogy. I want to know what happens. And so, with this movie, it's kind of like a refresher. It's like, oh, remember all these things that happened? It's like, oh, yeah, I remember it, but I don't have to focus because I know where everything's going to lead at this point.
I guess to me, like, what's kind of can be an issue is, like, and I don't know, early on in some of these, it's maybe unavoidable, but it's like, yeah, I know, like, Ruth Wilson's, like, evil and, like, she's, like, manipulative. Like, I already know that, and we're going to spend, like, another three episodes, like, figuring that out.
No, the end of the first episode. Oh, okay. Second episode, like, she runs away because she's evil.
So, yeah. So there you go.
I mean, she attacks Pan, so I, like...
Yeah.
Did you see that part?
No, I don't even know.
Yeah, she definitely attacks.
Yeah, like, she has her monkey attack.
For me, what sold me on this was the minute they enter the real world.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part.
Like, that instantly I was like, okay, this actually makes you stand out.
Yeah, I put my phone down at that point. I was like, this isn't in the movie.
All these other, like, alternate universe kind of movies, they're just like, oh, yeah, we're kind of doing our own thing. But, like, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no, this also involves the real world.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Our world.
This is actually kind of interesting. I want to see where this is going. Like, even if I already know the plot to the movie, I don't remember that being in the movie.
No, it was not in the movie.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. There was an alternate universe, but not... They don't actually go there.
Yeah, yeah. So, that intrigued me. I'm like, all right. But, like, yeah, I'm kind of... I kind of understand with John right now, where it's like, this probably could have come out some other time when I wasn't already watching Watchmen and The Mandalorian, and it's like...
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate.
It doesn't really
else.
Stand out
I
right
think,
now.
I think this is a couple years too late, I think.
Could be, too.
I think this is... HBO released it at the right time for them because with Game of Thrones gone, they can put their money towards something else.
Yeah, but I still think it was a couple years too late.
Hey, I mean...
You could still do this with HBO. It's not
Which I'm fine. I'm happy it's on HBO because I feel like if it was on any other channel, it would have been canceled.
It is on another channel.
It's on BBC
One. Yeah,
but it's a joint production. That's why.
Yeah. Well, That's probably why it's getting so much viewers.
Well, yeah, over
there. You don't have to pay for BBC.
Well, so, technically you do.
You but. Do, but...
Well, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
But,
No, I'm going to continue with this show. I'm just, like... like I said, I'm going to watch it on my... like, with my phone in my hand, going through Facebook or IMDb or doing whatever, and every time a part that's not part of the movie that comes up, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to pay attention. And then when they surpass the Golden Compass, that, or at least when they get to the Bears are awesome.
I don't know, I'm kind of like hoping for Lin-Manuel to show up, because I'm like, I was promised Lin-Manuel. Yeah.
Well,
is he going to show up and start singing?
I should say where they're at now. So Daphne Keene's character, she runs away at the end of the second episode. And so,
oh, by the way, like, yeah. What her name's Lyra.
Lyra, yeah.
Oh man, it's too close to Laura.
I know.
Lyra.
That's yeah. Which her dad's in this show. Did you know that?
Her literal father,
Daphne Keene's dad. Yeah, he's the one of the priest guys.
Oh, is he the bald guy?
Yes,
that's, yeah. that's
hunch, okay. The hunched over guy.
He's in The Crown too. Big fucking week for that guy.
Yeah.
By the way, Crown talk coming back next week.
Have we ever talked about The Crown on
this? Yeah,
we're not going to.
A couple small little things there. I'm not in on this show.
Which is fine.
I'm not in. Hey. I think it's the movie. I think the movie is a major factor in that.
All right. One thing I have heard is like after the third episode, it's like a different show.
It better be. Because yeah. I've seen this movie already.
Well, yeah. Because like the first two episodes, it's like her trying to like figure out who she is. And then, well, I mean, big bombshell at the end of the second one is she finds out that her uncle is actually her dad.
Yeah, but again, if you've seen the movie...
Which is funny because that actress has had Wolverine and now Xavier as her dad.
Right, pretty wild. And the guy from Split. And that's like three people.
Yeah.
Well, that's like 30.
That's like 20-something.
Yeah, so that's really racking the numbers. All right, so I think we're sort of maybe we'll see what happens.
Hey, I'm going to continue.
If you continue,
Sam's continuing. Yeah. That's big.
I'll continue.
That's bigger than me continuing.
Like, I don't think we're going to visit this every week because
this is not
we've got
an
like
every
three
week
shows now to talk Here, about.
Here's it's the thing. Take forever. Here's the thing. This show better than Carnival Row. So.
Okay, there we go.
I don't think so at all.
I agree because I haven't picked up Carnival Row since.
Yeah, I mean, Carnival Row kind of was just there.
All right, Sean, so really quickly, do you want to talk about what you saw? Sleep?
So I saw... I'm going to talk about two movies that I saw this weekend really quick. First one was Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to Stephen King's The Shining. It follows older Danny... struggling with alcoholism, eventually finding another person with The Shining and tackling a group of individuals that are trying to kill people with The Shining and consume their, as they call it, steam, which...
Is that like dust?
Sure. It comes out of their mouth.
Let's not reference His Dark Materials in other aspects of the nerd culture.
Damn it, I have so many written down for Watchmen.
This doesn't deserve. His Dark Materials does not deserve to be integrated into nerd culture right now.
But so, anyways, going back to Dr. Sleep. So it basically follows older Danny bringing somebody under his wing to teach them about their shining and how to use it, and she is like, so he plays Obi-Wan Kenobi to this little girl's Anakin Skywalker.
Okay.
Because
so very apt. A mentor trainer.
Yeah, very mentor trainer, like she's like the most powerful of the people who use the shining. Okay. So it's like totally like
she's
Anakin
like the shiny one.
Yeah. She's the chosen one. She was supposed to bring balance to the shine,
right?
So, yeah, so it was, so they do reference the movies, the movie that came out with Jack Nicholson and who's the actress? MacLaine.
We Duvall. Know. Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall, that's it.
Scatman Crothers.
So they recast those characters with lookalikes without truly referencing, like, they do reference the movie at times, but they also mention, like, Jack was an alcoholic, which is in the book. He was an alcoholic.
He's an alcoholic in the movie.
But he's a reformed alcoholic in the book. And when he took the job at the Overlook, he was like, I think he was like a year free of alcohol or something.
Six months.
6 months.
I recently watched the movie, so
yeah. So like, it was kind of like a bigger deal of him like accepting the alcohol with the bartender kind of thing. But like, they really go into how the Overlook was basically feeding off of the shine on Danny, and they wanted Danny, but they possessed his father to get Danny to feed off of his steam, I guess is what they call it.
So they just really just made a backstory around it. Whereas what I kind of like about The Shining, the movie, and granted, I know they are a little bit different from the book, is that it's so like incredibly underexplained.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I agree. And I mean, I was thinking about it today. I'm like, I mean, The Shining is a Stanley Kubrick masterpiece. Like, there's so many movies that Kubrick did that are considered masterpieces. Like, he's probably the greatest filmmaker of all time. Like, it's hard to say otherwise. So, like, it's tough to live up to that kind of standard for this movie, which it doesn't. But, like, you got to take it as it is. It's like, this, it's not going to be as good as The Shining. And once you get past that, I think you can enjoy
it. So, are we talking, like, is it better or worse than 2010?
I would say it's better. Because I was on the, I was basically
even
on the
without edge. John Lithgow?
Yes.
Right. What about Fuller Metal Jacket? Or Eyes Wide Shutter?
Yeah. So this is this movie was written. Well, the screenplay was written and it was directed by the guy who did Haunting on Hill House, which we all talked about on this. So he took over this, and I think he did a great job. Is it Rebecca Hall plays the villain? She does a phenomenal job. She is amazing in this movie. Ewan McGregor does a normal great job. But yeah, like, it's not, it doesn't hold up to the original, but it's like, it definitely kept me interested the entire time through.
Does it work at all if you haven't seen the Shining?
They do end up going back to the Overlook at the end, so they do reference parts of the movie, like the bartender. Like in this movie, the bartender is his dad.
Right, but does it work at all if you don't know like what the
source? It's going to be tough because the old naked lady shows up a lot.
Oh boy,
right,
and you know that room. You know the twins are there, but the one thing that I noticed with this, and I saw it with my wife, who's terrified of her own shadow at times, wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. It really wasn't, but it was thrilling, and it kept me like wanting more, which is great. And so, like, my overall review, I gave it a 7.3.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, if you like The Shining, I mean, like I said, don't expect this to be Stanley Kubrick material.
Right. But it's worth watching.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, and good to know. It did not do well at the box office.
It did not, which is
sad. It did pretty horribly.
But the other
movie... It's the wrong time for it. Should have been a month before. Should have been a month ago.
Yeah, it would have been a little.
Should have been a month ago. Probably would have.
Also, I just think, you know, like, no one knew what Dr. Sleep was.
Yeah, they kept doing the hard sell on The Shining, which there is the opening shot of The Shining where like it goes along the water past those trees and stuff up to the Overlook, like them driving along the road. They reproduce that shot and it looks. I love it.
No, it was really, yeah.
It was cool.
All right, really quick on the other one.
The other one, because I watched two scary movies. The other one was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, because months ago I said I was going to see this, and I did finally see it. Based off of the children's stories from the late 80s into the early 90s, it is just a collaboration of those stories put into a movie. And
is it like one plot or is it
one
like,
plot?
Okay.
It is produced by Guillermo del Toro. The director, I forget the guy's name, but he did Troll Hunter, which I loved. That was a great movie. If you've never seen Troll Hunter, it is in Swedish, I think. It is in another language, but it's great. It's about a guy who hunts trolls.
Was this one good though?
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. For the fact that they had to take a bunch of stories and kind of mesh it into one story, I think they did a great job. who took my big toe zombie, terrifying, jangly man, which was, they hired a contortionist to do it. And just like all of Del Toro's work, he loves practicals. So all the creatures are practical. It looked great. It looked terrifying. I mean, as an adult, I was like, that's creepy. But like, I feel like as a child, this would be terrifying. Did a great job. Could have been better. I gave it a 6.4.
Oh, okay. That's pretty low.
It's low. I mean, it could have been better. But I mean, it's, you know, it's a kid's horror movie. So like, but rated PG-13. So like, it could have been better. And like, the ending was like, it was too well tied up. Like, it just kind of didn't make sense. Like, the dad was like, he was there to help them at the
end. Did they use the power of friendship?
Is it a kid's movie?
It's a PG-13, so like, I feel like it, if you've read these stories as a kid, you'd probably enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Well, lastly, and I don't want to rush this one because there was a lot there.
Okay.
Watchmen.
All right.
Two episodes, which, you know, normally, you know, if we took a week off or whatever, maybe we just hit one. I think we got to talk about both.
Yes.
So let's talk about episode three first.
It's going to be blurred together for me. I can't.
Same. I watched them back to back.
All right. That's fine.
Yeah, me too.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't watch it back to back. It's just,
yeah.
All right. We'll just talk about shit as it comes up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Big part of episode three is Lori Blake, played by Jean Smart, shows up on the scene. The comedian's daughter.
Yep.
Former the ex Silk Spectre. And she's just an incredible addition to the show. Like, it's a good show like this, like, brings, and like, we're very early into the story, so new elements are being introduced often. But like, it's when, you know, you get something you didn't know you needed it, and you get it. Like, to me, at least, that's what I felt. Like, somebody just kind of, you know, very, like, you know, sarcastic, sort of, like, floating above the rest of it. I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't pick up on this, but I heard somebody else mention it. She's kind of like the comedian.
Yes.
Wait, yeah. Kinda?
Yeah.
Very, very much like the comedian.
I mean, she's like become the comedian. Yeah. Really,
She's a good flavor right now. But I feel like it could get old quick.
It could. I mean,
you know, if she stays around the amount of screen time that she's had in the past two. Right. So
yeah, sure.
Because I still want to see. I want to deep dive into Glass's like bunker thing.
Oh, I know
what's going on.
I think,
and
it's
who his ex is, like his ex wife.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
I mean, I think I don't mean to really skip ahead. The next episode looks awesome.
Okay,
oh, I didn't
like,
see
the,
any.
Interdimensional. Watch, like, yeah. He's going to these like therapy sessions for like interdimensional attack anxiety or whatever.
Okay,
and it's like oh god.
So it looks like a looking.
Oh,
glass
it's a
heavy.
Looking glass episode.
Okay, good, okay. Good.
All right.
I'm worried they're going to kill him off. I really hope they don't. I really.
I feel like Looking Glass is this timeline's Rorschach.
Although, right? Although he gives one of the Looking Glass gives probably my favorite line of this entire show was when Regina King's character
Sister Knight
or whatever her real
Angela.
Name is. Angela. When she goes to him in his bunker and she like mentions like, did you know the chief was a racist? And he goes, he was a white man in Oklahoma. I just love that line.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Silk Spectre. Yeah, I was not expecting what was in the silver briefcase for the Silk Spectre.
Oh yeah,
not expecting. I thought it was like her outfit.
Costume. It was the Dr. Manhattan dong.
Nope, it was a massive blue dildo.
It was a Dr. Manhattan dong.
Yep, complete with full set.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I did like how she was like, she put it together. She looked at it. And then ended up going to like that other guy's place, and which is like so weird to think about because this guy literally like wrote his thesis on her and her like her coworkers. It's like so weird that like that happened.
Did anybody else notice he was
wearing the mask? Yeah.
Oh,
which
the,
I
the
guarantee
one he
you,
cut
she
out
yeah,
or whatever.
I guarantee you, she made him do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Guarantee that.
If I know anything about the graphic novel, yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and I thought it was good with the framing device too, of like talking to like these like telephone booths where you can call Mars because I guess Dr. Manhattan for some reason cares.
But he doesn't.
Or people think they do at least and they can charge him for it.
Mm.
And then the car just falls. And you're just like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's not the weirdest loop we've seen in this.
No, not
in the show
all.
So far.
And I just love this weird, like, so there's this website out there called PDpedia, named after PD, the agent, who's hanging around. And it's just a bunch of, like, memos and stuff like that, but just to give you some more backstory to the world. I guess what happened was after the squid attack, they got rid of a bunch of computers because they thought it had to do with, like, Dr. Manhattan and stuff like that. So they, like, almost, like, restarted again. So that's why everything seems, like, a little bit backwards and the technology is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, Angela in the fourth episode goes to the thing and it's, like, putting an acorn in a tree or whatever.
Yeah, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was a cool scene.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, So we've mainly been talking about the third episode. It was very Rorschach-esque how she was telling the joke throughout the entire episode, which was kind of nice. I did like that aspect to it all, while telling her story and how, you know, she does run solo kind of thing. Like, she doesn't need anybody else's help,
right?
Kind of thing. So a lot of building, but I think the Ozymandias story is really the most interesting part about this entire show.
Well, here's the thing: it's like, all right, I have no idea what's going on here. All of a sudden, a game warden shows up. Yeah. Like, all right, what's going on with that?
Skittles got mad because there were bison on TV. It was weird.
And then all of a sudden, he's hurling dead bodies into the sky, and they just disappear. And I'm like, all right. You got the show.
I'm like, okay, yeah, right. Where are the bodies going?
So the where is he? The like fishing out little fetuses.
Yeah, that was weird.
Force growing them.
Creepy.
Yeah, because like when he
and
first
then there's
like
screams
opened...
too. Oh yeah. Like, oh my god, this is I love this show, man. It's so fucking weird and cool. Oh my god, it tickles a lot of my.
I did like after he grew those people up and then brought them to the castle. He just like opens the door and there's like hundreds of dead bodies. Yeah, like, it was a rough night.
It was a rough night.
He literally slaughtered his entire castle. It was, oh my god.
And I love any scene too where somebody is dictating a letter.
Yeah.
Like it's become like incredibly like Wes Anderson-y in that part of the show.
Oh man.
So do we want to take a stab at all what's going on there?
Well, you also
I can give you, I think there's a prediction I wanted to give you.
Okay.
I have to think about it. Okay. I think
you
I
got it.
The kid Angela Knight, or what's her name? Angela.
Angela.
Sister Knight.
Sister Knight.
Yep.
That kid,
Topher?
Her son, is in some way related to Dr. Manhattan.
Okay.
I think you got something there, because like I said, he did the whole thing where he's making the castle that it looks like Ozymandias is in.
Right. But
that he was also making on Mars.
At the same time, her grandfather might be Dr. Manhattan.
He's not Dr. Manhattan.
I don't
think there's any chance he's Dr. Manhattan.
I don't know, but like, what? Something's up with him.
Okay, yes, which we'll get to momentarily here.
So, like, yeah.
Adrian Veidt, though.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way he's on Earth, right?
No, God, no. He might be trapped somewhere on Mars. They keep referencing to the fact that he's dead. They found his body. He is declared dead.
He
went missing, and then they do mention that they did find a body, and he's been declared dead.
Who, Ozymandias?
I thought it was just like he's been declared dead just because they just do that.
No,
that mention by the other FBI agent that like he has like he knows somebody who said they've spotted him in Argentina.
Oh yeah, had plastic surgery or something like that.
Yeah. But the show also introduced that trillionaire Vietnamese woman.
Right, Lady Tru.
Yeah, so like...
God, that was such a fucked up scene
in the
farm. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so great. That was phenomenal.
Just twisted.
Yeah. And it was like, here, I made you a baby. You have 30 seconds to accept it and give me your farm. If not, I take the baby away and give it to somebody else.
So one question I had, was that supposed to be happening like before the events of the show? Like,
I have no idea.
Because they did that weird fade where it looks like it faded in downtown. Like,
yeah, no, she was older. She was older the next time we saw her.
Okay. Okay, so that's so like
so it was prior to
so that's how before. She got the land which
she's building on
yeah, building yeah, a yeah. So giant like,
in other words the thing that crash lands is probably related to the clock or whatever that well, tells yeah. time.
They mentioned in that scene that she's the one building the clock,
right?
So she has already started building
the clock. Oh, you're right. You're yeah. right. Okay, so maybe
I,
not.
I don't know
what is the clock.
Well, it tells time.
Really.
That's what the only little if, girl said.
And every time I hear that,
mine's going down a rabbit hole. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay.
Do we want to?
Go. Okay. Follow the rabbit. So, follow that white rabbit.
Because in the show, you have the lady, the yeah. Vietnamese lady, and then yeah. the old guy who are like kind of mastermindy thinking yeah. type thing.
They're definitely I'm having sorry, a good time together.
I'm sorry what I did to Angela and all this other stuff. I think the girl and the young daughter, the Vietnamese daughter. And Angela's kid are spawns of Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan is essentially building more of himself, and the clock thing that they keep mentioning is just a countdown
to
I don't know, to them taking over, to the end of the world, and those two, and the,
only
Dr. Manhattan inhabiting everything.
Only this series has ever mentioned a clock before.
Yeah weird.
Yeah. Right?
That's
a deep hole.
I have a theory, and it was one of those that, like, I saw, and, like, the second I saw it, I shut my metaphorical laptop and, like, walked away, because it's like, oh, that makes sense. Do you guys
yeah.
want to hear?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
The clock is a time machine.
Okay. Yeah, it makes all sense right. to me.
It could be.
Like, that's why, you know, the Angela's grandfather isn't actually as old as he would be.
Okay.
What do you think? Like they brought him back?
No, like he's like made a jump in time or something like that. Like he's only like 70 or whatever.
Yeah. He's supposed to be like 105 or something like that, right. And he can walk. Could make sense, he can walk perfectly fine.
So maybe the Vietnamese lady took herself as a young kid and brought her to this time to raise her.
Yeah. Well, I mean that would explain why you're a trillionaire if you have the ability to go back and forth through time.
It's valid.
I
can
also,
see where the connective tissue would form a valid, you know, yeah. a thought.
Also, I'm wondering if there's going to be any sort of. Vietnamese sort of retribution with her thing, because she kind of seems like there would be. Like, the whole speech she gave to her daughter was, mm-hmm. like, very sort of, I don't even know if I want to say disturbing, but, like, what was it? It's like, oh, this awful thing happened, and she's like, good.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't they lose? Didn't Vietnam
yes.
get
yes.
destroyed?
Manhattan oh,
yeah.
destroyed. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vietnam is the 51st state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love how like something crazy like that from the graphic novel they're just running with on this. They're like, yeah, there's
they mentioned it a people. Couple times too. It's yeah. not just the
yeah.
ones.
They're like Vietnamese people are here, and like Angela was born yeah, in Angela Hanoi
and her husband.
Yeah,
they're both Vietnamese.
I don't know, man. The show is. I don't think it's going to have the massive reveals that was in Westworld, but.
No, but. You know,
no, but there's way more to the show than
oh,
that.
Oh, definitely. Like, definitely.
Like, Westworld was. The depth of Westworld was who's a host and who's not. This is just.
And then once you find that out, it's like, oh, why do
yeah,
I care?
Yeah. yeah. Where this one, I mean, you're not. It's not like that kind of reveal. It's literally like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that. Because what's been nice about every episode is like. Two-thirds of it has been the main storyline. One-third has been what's going on with Adrian. Like, you always have that, like, flash to what's going on at that castle. What's he up to? And every time you come back, and I've been looking, every episode there's a new candle.
And you're, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, so the it's fourth each, episode each is a year. It's yeah. 4 years.
Every episode is a new candle.
Or fourth anniversary, whatever right. you want to call that.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Irons has just been, like, incredible.
He yeah. really is nailing
he's
it.
He's, like, he's a 10 out of 10 in this.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's his actual home. Because I remember something. No. I remember an interview where Jeremy Irons said he owned a castle.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. So I mean, this is a castle. It's like an estate, but either way,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is his own.
It could be. I mean, like it's funny because like in Europe, it's like you think they'd be a big thing, but really they're just like giant money sucks, and like, you know, it takes a certain kind of person who wants to own one.
He owns a 15th century castle in Cork.
Yeah. See,
Cork is, wait, Cork is where?
That's in Ireland.
Okay. There it is.
Oh, in Ireland. No.
Here's
oh,
there. Yeah. There you go. There's a picture of his house.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not his house. It's not.
But I was right, though. He did own a castle.
He does own a castle.
That is
so really just to have so much money where you can buy a castle
so
in Ireland.
Are we just going to glaze by this, or are we going to focus on the important thing?
The what dildo.
Was, no. What was up with that, like, lubricated man?
Oh,
yes. Lube Man.
That was
oh,
great.
My God. That was awesome.
That was, like, the best part of the episode.
Which, like, the best part of that is, like, I know he's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't,
yeah,
you don't bring up back. Something like that. And
something
then
so bizarre like
but,
that.
But, like, there's, like, a 20% chance maybe it just isn't, and that's just the thing.
That's just the way this show rolls.
God, I really want Glass to, like, put Silk Spectre in her place. I just...
I don't know. He seems just, a little afraid of her.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. I dislike her
he seems
a
like
lot.
Just a broken
I think
man
that
inside,
that's kind
too.
Of that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of supposed like
he does.
She's supposed
broken.
To be like an ass. Cuz I mean she's the comedian, basically her dad.
Yeah, I got it.
And like she even mentions like that there's always that breaking point in everybody's past, and hers was the fact that her dad raped her mom.
Yeah.
To conceal
as told by to. As told by Gary or whoever it was, whatever.
Yeah,
because when she was conceived, it was consensual,
right? But before, no,
he did try to rape
Jesus.
Her before.
All right. Anyway,
that's
more
why
thoughts.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, this show's just so. I'm so far in. I mean, it's like it's unfortunate that we've got the Mandalorian and all these other things to talk about too. Because
yeah.
I can go 5 hours on this.
Oh.
Maybe that's a lot, but yeah. I've been watching pretty much at each episode twice. Like
wow,
in
really?
Week. Yeah.
Oh wow. All right. Well, anyway, any other final things?
And by the way, if you like this at all, not that this is like the same show, but it's got very much the same feel at times, is The Leftovers. So. Of the, like, sort of weird, like, half-explained shit.
Okay.
What is this on?
HBO.
HBO. Okay.
All right. It's come up in our podcast a few times.
Yeah, I just... There's a lot going on right now with entertainment and stuff, so...
For sure.
Three shows, and I'm trying to start... I'm trying to watch as many movies now that the year's over.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies coming left, right, and center. Really quick. Saw The Lighthouse. Fucking loved it.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Now, I asked this to Sean. I'll ask this to you. Wouldn't Aquaman be a million times better if William Dafoe's character was the one from Lighthouse?
It would be. Also, my favorite part was when he like goes to like the like minute-long diatribe and Pattinson's just like, okay.
Yeah. I guess your food wasn't that bad. But like that shot is so phenomenal because like the shadows and everything, and it's on him for like a good 5 minutes.
Right.
And just him going off.
Oh, and one last other thing on that, he's got to get an Oscar. Like, and it's like Defoe? not that this one is like incredible, but like the guy's got so much like fucking range.
Yeah,
and he's just so like on point. In this.
I don't want him to get a pity Oscar like Leo did. I want him to deserve it.
Yeah, but like I could. But this is like such a. But I love this performance.
Yeah,
too,
no, I do like, too. Yeah.
Anyway.
Is this what's a Chris movie?
Never, not on your life.
Okay. No.
John, what is your rating for that?
Oh, I put it on the thing already. It's a 9-something. It's like a 9.3, I think.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to describe this movie is a movie I love, but could probably only recommend it to like 4 people, and half of them are in this room.
So. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Mandalorian again next week, and probably Watchmen as well.
Yeah.
So, plus any news. So that does it for us for this week. If you like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. If you want to talk about Mandalorian, send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/knightsandnerditude. I'm sure a few people have some thoughts about it. That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Hey.